Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Ensaroma. And December is the third and final fire month, and it closes out this nature year of radical and magical change. During this month of transition and transformation from where we've been to where we're going, the energies of truth, honesty, and authenticity will light our way forward. My theme for this month is endings and beginnings. Tonight, I present the first of five broadcasts I'll do in December, and I'll be sharing wisdom and insights tonight on your year in review. Now, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of this program. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that may be blocking your fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live, unless I'm disrupted out on hiatus or something else is going on. And in addition to listening to this program through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to the live broadcast or call into the show at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, and a constant contact email you may get, that link will serve as an archive link once the live broadcast is complete. So if for some reason you're unable to listen to the program live in its entirety, you can listen to it later. And, of course, you can share that link with whomever you feel it may be of benefit to. So now I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. As always, I want to open up my show by honoring the ancestors. And this Sunday, I want to honor the grandfathers. I had an incredible dream last night, really this morning as I was waking up. It was so lucid. It was so, like, bam, real. And it involved my grandfather. And he came and brought me a message about, in essence, what he was saying is, you need to focus on what's right with the person or the situation versus what's wrong. And I just love that, and I'm very, very grateful for that message from him, because Lord knows the last thing I want is to be judgmental as the way that I connect with people. And, you know, a lot of times we just do that. It's just like a defense mechanism. It's something that we'll do without even thinking about it. We start to criticize and pick apart and judge and, you know, trying to figure out, like, is it okay to talk to this person or be next to this person? But wow, what a better thing to do. It's especially what we would want someone to do with us, is to really look for what's right about this person or this situation that you find yourself in, rather than immediately focusing on the what's wrong. So I'd like you to take a few minutes and think about the grandfathers, and these can be men who were connected to you, blood-related or not, but someone who was in an earlier generation than you and who may have been very loving and very kind. Sometimes that was not the case, but ancestors are now in a position where if they've done something wrong, they want to make up for it. And so especially the ones who maybe we're not loving and kind and maybe physically harmed us, they become really great guides for us, because they kind of, you know, can guide us away from people and situations that they imitated or that they were like in life. And so they'll say to you, you know, don't go down that road, or don't go on that date, or stay away from that. You know, they're able to do that. So I include all of them. But take a moment and think about the grandfathers. My grandfather was very loving. I'm very, very grateful to have had a loving male presence in my life through him, because I did not grow up with my father. And so his name was Frank Brown. And when you find your grandfather that you want to honor, please say their name aloud. That really helps. And I will offer up this prayer. Ancestors, 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 we're calling out to you, and we are so grateful for you, for your willingness to to be around us, to be guides to us, to want us to win in life, to help us through our sacred contract making, and to be able to stay in alignment with the truth of who we are. And so tonight I'm calling out to all the grandfathers, and I want to especially thank my grandfather for coming to me with such wisdom and helping remind me of the importance of starting out with love and letting love lead the way and not being in judgment of people and situations when I first encounter them, but to shift to the love or to begin with the love. And so grandfathers, thank you so much for coming and showing up and helping us remember the truth of who we are. And Creator, I ask and thank you for continuing to give us access to these incredible emissaries of yours, these ancestors, for truly, truly they are our bridge between our understanding of you and what you really are. And so I thank you. I thank you for the blessing of the ancestors. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Asheho Asash and the Bismillah. So it is. Yes, yes, yes. Now for some elemental wisdom for this week. The elemental wisdom is based on the Dagra medicine wheel, which I am very, very honored to wisdom keep. It comes from the tribe of the Dagra people who live mostly in the country of Burkina Faso, West Africa, but at one point they were all over West Africa and the Ivory Coast to Guinea, to Ghana, and through colonialism and just through time, they've been able to hold on to this cosmology, this ancient wisdom in the form of a medicine wheel. And it's through this medicine wheel that I'm able to offer you some guidance for the week that comes up from a elemental perspective, meaning what's the energies of nature. You know, we really have in modernity, because of our technology, cut ourselves off from even a daily encounter with nature. You know, concrete has paved over the ground, and it's like, you know, patches of green lawn become so precious that you don't walk on it, so you don't even put your feet on real earth, on real ground. It's very easy to not do that in modern society. And so we become detached, if you will, from the elemental essence that surrounds us and that we're part of. You know, everything that is living on this planet, and including us, you know, came from somewhere in space. Some of it was brought by asteroids. Some of it rained down after the big part of the Big Bang process, you know. And so, like, all of these ingredients, and they're, you know, very simple and very consistent ingredients, but it's like that's what we are, and that's what nature is. And so nature is an ally to us. It's not something to be corralled or something to even be victimized by. It's to be really respected and honored and understood that, you know, it's got its mission too. Like, there's stuff it's got to do. And just like we have stuff we have to do. And so it's really important that we wake up to being in alignment with that. And so the elemental wisdom for the week, I think, is one of the ways in which we in modernity can begin to reconnect ourselves and to re-energize ourselves, if you will, with the reality and the preciousness of the natural world. And so the medicine wheel contains all the five, well, really four ingredients that create life, because nature is a combination of all four. But it's fire, water, earth, mineral, which is stones, bones, shells, crystals, mountains, and then nature. And nature is really like an energetic, it's the evolutionary process that happens when you combine those four elements, and that's what produces plants, animals, and humans. So using the first day, the first Monday of the year. I mean, not the first day, not the first day of the week. Finding out where January 1st falls at the beginning of the year determines the beginning of the elemental week. And so January 1st in 2018 fell on a Monday. And so I use Monday and the date of Monday as the elemental week. And so this Monday is December 3rd. And that tells me that we are going to be in a nature week. And the element of nature has specific properties to it, as if you will, or profile. And so here are the opportunities that this nature week, the energy of nature, will present to you so that you can be conscious of it and you can engage with things more from a place of flow rather than resistance. And that's much healthier, to be in flow. So the opportunities for this nature week are to be flexible, to trust the process, to surrender your attachment to your plan. When we make up what we think is the best way for our dreams to come true, we are sure to be disappointed. I think it was Ayanna Van Zandt that said, you want to hear God laugh? Tell him your plan. This week is about trusting that the universe, with its unknowable ability to make things happen in the right way and at the right time, is more powerful than your brain or that of any other human. Want it to be right for you more than just wanting it. I'll repeat that. Want the thing that you're wanting to be right for you more than just wanting it. Let go of trying to figure it all out. Do what is right in front of you to do at the present time and know that more will be revealed. Connect with the beauty, magic, and the trickster energy of the nature element, whether that is in the form of plants, trees, flowers, animals, or humans, to help you accept the greater order and direction you are being asked to experience. And the trickster energy of nature is really about having a sense of humor, you know, realizing that things may not always turn out the way we thought, or we're going to get some surprises, but to know that it is all for the best and we don't have to feel victimized by that. Now, here are some things that can distract you, some thoughts, some postures, some beliefs, some situations that can distract you out of being flexible and trusting the process during this coming nature week. So arrogance and stubbornness, not a good thing. It will really keep you out of being present and going with the flow. Attempting to change a no into a yes. So for example, if you're trying to make something happen, but it's just not working, you know, we will really push and push and push. This week, you don't want to do that. You just want to accept that no, knowing that the yes will show up easily and effortlessly, but you just have to believe. Another distraction, perceiving things as win-lose, you know, doing that competitive thing. Not a good idea. That will not keep you in the flow. It won't bring you what is really right for you. So let go of the competition. Despairing and trying to go back to the place you know best, which is about squeezing back through a hole, trying to, you know, return to what used to be or what you thought was, not a good idea. This is about really accepting, okay, I'm in another position. I am really moving forward. Even if it doesn't feel like it, you need to be patient and trust the process. And last but not least, beating yourself up for situations and or outcomes that you have no control over. Wow. That's a big one. That's a really, really big one. And again, it is a distraction to really allowing yourself to accept the greater order and direction that you are being asked to experience. So no beating yourself up for things that shift or don't turn out the way you think they should at this time. Now, next week, Monday, December 10th, we'll begin an Earth Week, And on Monday, December 17th, we'll begin a fire week. I'm going to be doing rebroadcasts for those 2 weeks. So I will post the elemental wisdom for you on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. And then I'll return for live broadcasts on the 23rd of December. But let me move into some of the astrology for this week. We've got a new moon coming up on the 7th, this Friday. And new moons are always about like a new beginning, a fresh start, a redo, you know. So it's always a good time to say, okay, I've completed something, now I can begin something new. It's that kind of experience in the part of the lunar cycle. And on the 6th, on Thursday, it's important to know that Mercury will be going direct. Mercury will be going direct. In fact, on some calendars, the new moon comes in on the 6th. So Mercury goes direct. We've been in a Mercury retrograde. And Mercury retrograde happens about 3 times a year. And it really is for us to take a quarterly break and take time to review just what I'm going to be talking about tonight, so that we are not working against ourselves is basically what it's about. And but also with Mercury retrograde, they advise, you know, because it is a break, it's a time to contemplate and review. Don't make any commitments. So don't sign contracts. Avoid surgery if you can. Avoid starting a new business. Avoid, you know, doing a kickoff on something, you know, all of that. Because, again, it's just because you're supposed to be taking a break. And so once Mercury begins to move forward again, then that's when you're getting permission from the cosmos. That's when the energy is saying, okay, now you'll be supported in these things that you need to do. Now, of course, if you have to do something or make a decision to do something, during Mercury retrograde, you have to do that. And you just have to trust that, you know, it is about right timing for you. So don't beat yourself up about, you know, if I have to sign a contract. If I have to sign a lease to get into my new apartment during Mercury retrograde, you know, no, just do that. And just stay mindful that, okay, you know, I'm doing this during what is a break, so let me be really conscious that I'm doing this out of love and not fear. And that's what will help us with any of the things that we need to do during a retrograde, to make sure we're doing it out of love and not out of fear. So let me give you a little information about the new moon in Sagittarius. I found this information from a website called Elite Daily, and the astrologer's name is Roya Backlund. Roya Backlund. The website is www.elitedaily.com. And it's ELITEDAILY.com. And she says, the new moon. It's the point in our lunar cycle in which energy is released and set free so that a new intention can take its place. As the sky darkens, devoid of moonlight, our universe is replenished and renewed. The reason we're so affected by the moon's phases is because the moon rules over the emotional body. No matter how strange the astrological influence may be, I always find the new moon to be an optimistic time. Why? Despite everything we might be going through, it's a reminder that we can always pick ourselves up and start over. I love that. That's just such a great message. Also, Lena Stevens, who I love, the PowerPoint, give you her new moon rendition. She says, this is a time to watch judgment and irritability as it could come up around old patterns and wounds. Back to my grandfather's message to me, like, don't be in judgment. She says, where are you still holding someone in debt to you for past wrongs? Where do you still feel in debt to some old pattern of regret or shame you have been trying to change? As these influences may be up, you have a great opportunity with this new moon to do some real healing, forgiveness, and letting go. The chaos at this time is related to all the obsessive thoughts in your mind, and it would be a good practice to do whatever you can to clear the mind and focus on a reset that forgives the past and settles into a more peaceful field of creativity that brings some clarity to new intentions. So essentially, she's saying, you know, here's the time to really do a reset using forgiveness and releasing and letting go and really allowing ourselves to empty out from whatever dense energy we may be holding on to from the past so that, you know, we can go into this holiday season, this very spirited season, you know, from a place of openness and, I believe, willingness to experience the joy. So, happy new moon coming up, and again, happy Mercury retrograde coming to its end. So now I want to jump into talking with you about reviewing your year and the importance of that. So that's what I'm going to start off talking about. Then I'm going to give you a guided process for your annual review. So if you would like to get a paper and pen out or a pencil, whatever, something to write with, so you can take down some notes as I'm going to guide you around this annual review. I will post it on my Facebook page to the questions that I'm going to put forth that can help you, because I really think this is such an important thing to do, especially for those of you who are out there like me, you know, being self-employed or taking on, you know, being in healing work or the helping professions. I think it's important for everyone, but for those of us who are doing that kind of work, I think it's really, really important, because it's so easy for us to be taking on so much of other people's stuff without even knowing it. And when we can take time to do an annual review, we release that and we focus on ourselves, and that's really what this is about and what it's for. It's about putting on your oxygen mask first. but I think, you know, parents should do this. If you're a parent, you should really take time to look at your year in review, especially having children, to really become more conscious about how are they growing, how are they shifting. What did I do well that I want to keep doing more of? You know, what didn't I do so well? Yeah. And just to be in gratitude to, you know, it gives us an opportunity to be in gratitude. The quote that I used to announce my broadcast for tonight comes from a man named Craig D. Lonsborough, and he's a licensed professional counselor, and he also has a ministry. Does ministry work with his church. But I like this quote very much. I found it on great good quotes on the web. And he says, "And because it's all that we can see, the ending becomes an end in itself when directly ahead of us new beginnings are being forged and fresh byways are being laid out from the very ending that we're caught up in." I think that is so precious and wonderful, and such a good reminder that even though we may be dealing with the ending of the year, the ending of a job, the ending of a living space, the ending of someone's life, know that out of that something new is being birthed. And that's so important for us to remember, that there really is a cycle going on of endings and beginnings. And it is an essential part of being alive. It's an essential part of the experience of being in this 3D reality that we're all in. So let me start off by talking about three reasons why reviewing your year is important and beneficial. And although I did kind of make a little reference to that just when I was doing my intro. But number one, it's cosmic law. You are here to evolve through healing and growth. So being conscious of the changes and shifts will keep you aligned with this truth and out of suffering. You see, we suffer when we think we are victims to circumstance and don't have sight of the larger framework of our existence. We really are here on purpose. We are here on purpose. You know, this brings to mind that wonderful scene out of Lord of the Rings, the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring. And, of course, it's in the book by Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien. And it's between Gandalf and Frodo when they're down in the mines of Moria trying to, you know, get the ring back into the volcano, you know, on this journey, on this epic journey. And at one point, Frodo says, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened." And Gandalf responds, "So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." Just love that. Just love that. And J.R.R. Tolkien would know what he's talking about because he experienced a lot of trauma when he was growing up. His father died, I think he was only 5 years old, and then his mother died from complications of diabetes when he was about 11 or 12. And so he grew up with other family members or, you know, people who were willing to foster him. And then at, I think, probably about 1920, he goes off to World War I, and he loses all but one of the friends that he was very close to. And so he's gone through a lot of tragedy. And so when he talks about that, but all we need to do is focus on what to do with the time we've been given, he really knows what he's talking about. And so that's the thing about, you know, why we need to review our year, because we really want to be able to have a consciousness about how what is happening to us, with us, for us, through us, is a benefit. We do not want to stay a victim to the pain, to the loss, to those things that are going to happen in life. We want to be able to really decide what to do with the time that is given to us. So that's one really important reason why you need to carve out some time and take on reviewing 2018. The second important reason is you will notice unhealthy patterns and more easily choose not to repeat them. Also, you'll notice healthy patterns and more easily choose to repeat them or to build upon them. So again, it's this opportunity for contemplation and, you know, introspection to identify, you know, what's working, what has worked, what has not worked, so that you are more conscious. So it's raising your consciousness. And number three, why it's so important and beneficial to review your year is that you will then be more able to set intentions for the next year that build upon what you have accomplished and to stay aligned with love versus fear. And that is really, really an important thing to do, especially in the times that we are living in, especially for the times we're living in. So let me give you this guided year in review. First thing I want to encourage you to do, for those of you, and most of us, have photos up on our computers or on our phones. If we're using Facebook, you know, we can go into our photos section. And it's just helpful because you'll be surprised at how much it helps you remember about, oh, yeah, this happened. Oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, this happened, you know. So your photos kind of give you a timeline and help you remember. Like, I looked at mine because I couldn't remember if I'd gone to a specific sacred site this year or was it last year, and So I was able to go into my Google photos and see, like, oh, no, that was last year. But this is what I did this year because I have photos of the places that I went. And so that, I thought that was a good way for those of you who have access to that to just start to really look at, you know, what you were doing, some things you were doing in 2018. The first question then is, you want to start off with what you hope to accomplish or what you wanted to experience and ask yourself, how did you do? I highly recommend having an annual commitment rather than a New Year's resolution. A New Year's resolution is usually made out of fear. You know, I got to lose 25 pounds by the summer so that I can fit into this bikini. Or I've got to make $5,000 between now and September 1st so that I can, you know, fill in the blank. There's usually a fear-based energy associated with that. And so I recommend, rather than making a resolution, that you make a commitment. And you get in touch with the energetic that's really going to support you in having your happy ending occur. Because sometimes we set a goal, but it may be another goal, or it may be a bigger goal, or it may be another type of goal that is really what's needed. And so if we talk about things from a bigger perspective and in a very love-centered manner, then we're more able to achieve a victory in what it is that we would like to have happen. So again, just think about what it is that you hope to accomplish at the beginning of 2018 or that you wanted to experience, and then query yourself, like, how did I do? How did I do? Second, what were at least three memorable experiences or events that you had in 2018 that transformed you, grew you, healed you, or evolved you? What were at least three memorable events or experiences that transformed you, grew you, healed you, or evolved you? I did do this exercise myself this week, and it was really very helpful. And one of the things that I, well, three of the things, I can tell you three things I experienced that really, really did all of that to me. One was my shift, my move to Santa Monica, and that came up about in such a miraculous way. Second was, I saw Black Panther. Seeing that movie, I remember coming out of the movie theater and I was walking taller. I felt taller. It was really quite emotionally impactful. It was a historical event for me, and it really transformed something in me, which I'm still learning about. But I know it did something because I left that movie theater feeling very, very different. And then third would be the fact that I completed the writing of my first book. I think that was even more significant than getting it to a publisher. The fact that I could actually finish writing the book, that I actually got to the end, that was really quite transformative to me. And so, you know, those are just an example of three things that happened to me that really did heal me and evolve me. The third question would be, once you've identified, you know, what are those evolutionary transformative events, experiences you had, you ask, which ones did I consciously create? Which ones surprised me? Which ones were painful? Which ones were joyful, fulfilling, happy events? And this is a way, again, to just be more introspective and contemplative about what you're experiencing. You know, also on my list would be the death of my great nephew, Tyler. And that, of course, was not a happy event. It totally surprised me, but it also very much has transformed me. And in ways that I'm still learning. So, you know, again, when tragic things, unfortunate things happen that are memorable to you, I'm sure, like people who experienced the California fires, or people who were friends of people that got killed at that synagogue in Pennsylvania. You know, these are very tragic kinds of things that that are memorable and that happened and had an impact. And so, of course, we want to include all of that, all of that. And again, just contemplating how painful, was it something I created, not, you know. I'm sure there were people who lost a job, who got fired, or people who got their dream job. There were people who divorced. There were people who married. There were people who gave birth. All of that goes into the pot. So number four, some more introspection around those things, those memorable events and experiences that happened to you. You want to ask yourself, in which ones was I the victim? In which ones was I the victim? In which ones was I the victor? Was I the victor? In which ones was I the saboteur? Meaning that I was either sabotaging myself or sabotaging someone else or sabotaging a situation for someone else. And any other archetypes, if you know sacred contracts or you know Carl Jung's work in archetypical psychology, you might want to use that because that's a really neat way for us to become more conscious about what energies and roles are showing up in our lives. You know, the four basic ones are victim, abuser, saboteur, and prostitute. And so, you know, those are the ones that everybody goes through. But there are other kinds of archetypes. King, queen, vagabond, pirate, you know, all those things, that all those different roles that everyone on the planet, regardless of what language you speak, you know, has a consciousness of and a familiarity with. You know, that's why fairy tales come from all around the world and can be very similar. So when you think about that, that's just going to help you, you know, just really think about, like, what stance was I in? Because if you find that your memorable events had you in a victim mode, then you really want to look at that. Really look at that to say, okay, what needs to shift here? What's going on? Number five, what did you learn from each of those events and experiences? What did you learn? And I can share with you a couple of what I learned from my list. I learned that I have strength and courage to go with the flow. I learned that I really like being on stage and I'm good at it. I learned that I can easily become codependent, but also can shift easily out of it. I also learned that when I surrender and let God take charge of my life, when confronted with a challenge, the results are phenomenal. Phenomenal. So, you know, your list will be in relation to those things that you experienced it. And this is a really important part of your year review, because it's important that we begin to uncover the purpose the deeper purpose and the deeper meaning into things that happen for us. It's the treasure. It's a treasure that results in what it is that we're doing and thinking and experiencing in life. Because as I said, the cosmic law is we're here to heal, to learn, to grow, to evolve. So we want a consciousness about that. What am I learning? What am I learning about myself? And, you know, this also is about self-mastery. This is about self-mastery. Now, number six kind of brings it home. This is about what do you want to continue learning, healing, and growing in 2019? This is the beginning of setting your annual commitments. So, you know, when I have a list of memorable events and my contemplation about them and then what I've learned from them, it's easier to be able to say, okay, here's what 2019 needs to bring to me. See, consciously taking on facing the new year, and rather than just from a resolution of I've got to lose some weight, I've got to start doing more exercise, you know, I've got to stop eating so much sugar or, you know, things like that, which are all important too. But it's about so much more than that. And if you're really getting at the things that you really want to have happen in your life, then what is needed to support you in having them is going to be easier to do. Because think about it, we're not just wanting to lose weight just to lose weight. We're wanting to lose weight because we want to be healthier. We want to feel good about the way we look and feel in our body. We want to be around a longer period of time joyfully. We don't want longevity to be about suffering and struggling and, you know, pain and suffering, right? We want to be healthy and fit. And so, you know, that's got to be connected to some things we want to do. Like maybe you want to be able to travel to some distant places. So you've got a bucket list of things that you want to be able to do in life. You know, that's what you want to focus on for 2019. And know that losing the weight, if that's the issue, becoming financially free, you know, really figuring out how to manage your debt to not feel under the gun. Maybe it's going back to school and learning a new skill or, you know, sharpening up your game so that you can access more income or, you know, whatever it is. Like these are the things that you want to really propel you. You don't want to just stop with, I want to lose weight. Yeah. You want to be getting to, like, what are the things that I want to happen, what do I want to experience? And, of course, it's about doing these things out of love, not fear, not to be in this, if I don't do this, then, you know, fill in the blank, I'll never or I won't. No. It's more coming out of, wow, here are some memorable things that happened to me. I know which ones I really, you know, wanted to have happen. I know the ones I didn't want to have happen. But even the ones I didn't want to have happen, I learned something from that. And I've learned a way that it's opened me up to doing something so that I won't go through that experience again. Or if it's like me, with a family tragedy, it's not like you can say I'll never go through that again, but it is about, you know, how do I make sure that I nurture myself and I'm nurtured and I I'm loving and I receive love as I'm going through that? Do I have enough support around me? You know, I'm very blessed that I do. I have great support around me for what I'm going through. And so I can say, like, what do I need to do to continue making sure that I always have good support around me? How do I need to be with myself? How do I need to be with others so that I can have that support? You know, and it becomes that kind of thinking that you begin to do. And, you know, when we are focusing on our dreams and focusing on having memorable events that are joyful, that are our happy endings coming true, it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. Last year for my annual commitment, I said I wanted to be healthy. I wanted to really increase my health because I'd had some challenges around blood pressure and just feeling kind of fatigued. And so I was like, I want to be healthy because I felt like I needed to be moving. I needed to be doing some traveling back and forth. And I wanted to be able to have the energy for that. And so I put out health, but I said health in all ways, you know, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, I just went health. And so as I reviewed my year, what I was looking at is, did I achieve more health? Did I achieve more health? Did more health show up for me? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I am much healthier right now today on December 2nd than I was on January 2nd. And that's an important thing. And a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you, it wasn't like I had a master plan. I didn't sit down and make a master plan. I did this. I did intentions. I laid out some intentions. I committed to staying conscious about what I was going to be doing, having, being, thinking, so that I could be healthy. You know, I made a commitment to be choosing health, but I didn't have a master plan. And from that intention, from that commitment to be health, when opportunities arose, when God brought things in my path, I knew what to say yes to, and I also knew what to say no to. Because I was already conscious, I need to choose health. I need to choose health. So, you know, what I'm sharing with you is very powerful, and it works. It really does. But you do have to give it some time. You have to put a little time in. You got to carve out some time when you can be alone and sit with yourself and review your year. And so that's my personal challenge to you this week. I want you to carve out some time from your busy, busy life. I'm doing this early in December because I didn't want to wait if you are going to be inundated with shopping and preparing for the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, you know, whatever, for the new year. Start now. Don't wait until January 1st to do your annual commitment. Start now to do this process. And, you know, there are 6 questions that I put out as a guide. Take 2. Take 1 a day, you know, and through 6 days you could get through it. But I really am just encouraging you to do this. I think it is so helpful. You know, the year is going to bring unexpected events. There's no doubt about that. But if you've made some commitments, if you reviewed your year from last year and you're aware of what worked, what didn't work, where it is I need to go based on what I've already done, where it is I need not to go based on what has happened, you're just going to feel so much, you're going to have so much more confidence, and you're going to feel more in your personal sovereignty. You're going to be able to feel more able to set your boundaries with people, with situations, because you'll be clear that, wait a minute, this is how I've committed to being and to using my time and to doing. And it you won't be as confused or anxious or flustered. It really gives you a sense of groundedness and more clarity when you're able to do this. So I think that's important, especially because there's so much going on. There's so many crazy things that are happening in the world. Everything is changing, you know, and things are happening really fast. So this is a way for us to carve out some sanity for ourselves. And consistency, it's like something that you can go back to and remind yourself about. You know, that's why writing it down is important. Or if writing doesn't work for you, talk it into a voice recorder. But have it in a way that you can refer back to it, especially during Mercury retrogrades, so that you can say, okay, I'm on track. Or, you know what, I got off track. Let me get back on. And that's the other thing in this, too. You will go off track. That's how we learn. But you don't have to stay off track. You'll have a way to remind yourself, oh, okay, let me get back to my commitment. Yes, yes, yes. Well, as I said, I will post those six questions on my Facebook page. I may send them out in the constant contact that I do, too, because there may be people there that don't have Facebook, but I do want you to get access to those questions. And, of course, you can do your own questions. You can make up your own process for reviewing your year. This is just a suggestion and a way to hopefully get you jump-started. So I'm going to close out this evening by first thanking my wonderful engineer, Ms. Maxia, who is a senior in high school, and she's coming to the closing of the first half of her senior year. I remember that for me. I was so excited and so happy and grateful. Yes, yes, yes. So thank you, Maxia, for taking time out tonight to make sure that I could broadcast. And to the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. I'm going to shout out to all my regular listeners and to Ms. Sarah, who demonstrates that transforming your pain can result in joy-filled longevity. Yes, yes, yes. And I also want to do a shout-out to my dear friend, Reverend Gene Farrar in Madison. He had a little bit of a health challenge. He calls it an initiation. I think he might be right there. But just sending lots of love out to him and reminding him to stay still and allow the universe to download for him all that he needs to know what his next step is to truly be. To all those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who may be listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Next week, I will continue my traditional December programming with two Sundays of two of my best broadcasts of 2018. I'll return to live broadcasting on Sunday the 23rd with my Spirit of Christmas insights. You know, I always got to talk about Scrooge. And then on Sunday, December 30th, I'll be sharing my annual New Year's message for 2019, which is going to be a mineral year. Oh, yeah, baby, it's going to be something else. Again, don't forget to check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, and I will post that information on there as well as the elemental wisdom for you. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous final nature week and a nature year. And remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.